Deuteronomy 11. Our text begins in verse 18. If you'll stand, we'll read our text this morning. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18. We'll read to verse 25. You there? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that ye may be as, or that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep these, all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself. Every place whereon the sole of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. Father, this morning we pray your help, your blessings, as we hear from you in your word. Touch our hearts, guide us in your path, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. It should be our prayer that we would let God guide our lives, right? That we would let him be the one who would give the directions. And as we let him be the one who gives the directions, then we would follow his guidance. And he'll never lead us the wrong way, will he? Not when we let God do the leading. Look at chapter 10, verse 12. Let me show you something. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? So then there's a list of things that God says, these are the things that I want you to be mindful of, to do as we're on the path together. And when you read that list in verse 12, it says, fear the Lord, walk in his ways, love, serve with all your heart and soul, keep his commandments. What you're seeing, if you summarized each one of those commands there, into one thing, what God is saying that he desires Israel to do is to completely be surrendered to him. That's what he's saying. Utter surrender, total surrender to me is what God says. Now that's a challenge for Israel. That's a challenge for us today, to be totally surrendered to God, to let him be the primary influence that guides everything that we do or don't do. That's what God commands. But that, I think, sometimes is the challenge that we face as Christians, as believers, as people that are wanting to serve God and wanting to do what he wants us to do, but yet there's that reservation to completely give it all to him. God says, this is what I require. I'll be your God. I will take care of you. I will provide for you. I will give everything that's needed for you to survive and to perpetuate and to be what I'm calling you and what I desire for you and how I'm going to use you in the nations. But I require of you that you would surrender to me. That's what God said. Then you jump to chapter 11, verse 13, and he says this, and it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments. So where he has said he desires that we would be completely surrendered, and he says now, hearken diligently. That means to listen, to obey. We talked about this on Wednesday night. And with that, God is saying, I want you to follow me. Following God is to rely on God. Relying on God is to rest in him. That if you're following God and you're relying on God and you're hearkening diligently to God, then you trust that He's going to take care of everything as you take step by step in His will. He's going to take care of it all. And we have faith in that. We believe that. We rely on God with that. But we need faith to do this. We need to trust Him to take these steps. Why? Because there's temptation to not rely on God when it gets hard. Sure, it's easy when things are going good. It's easy when things are, whenever things are lining up. Let me say too, this, it reminds me so often of how when things are lining up, that we at that time sometimes are tempted to go away from God, and we come back to God when things are going bad. There's a temptation there for that. But I want you to note that also there would be a temptation when things are hard to go away from God, and Israel would need to know how to deal with that. It would be a challenge. Look at verse 16. It says, "Take heed unto yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." That would have been what the challenge that they would face. That when it got hard, that they would try to find solace or answers or help in other sources than from God. To go away from God than to go to God. Following the wrong examples rather than following the Lord. And that's still a challenge that we face today. Where we face challenges, and to deal with it, there's times when we get in the flesh. If you get frustrated about something, and instead of dealing with it in the Spirit, with God's help and guidance calming you, because you know God's in control and that He's going to give you everything that He wants you to say and do to deal with the thing that's causing you to be upset. But instead of letting God guide us, sometimes we let our flesh guide us and we lose our attitude and we say things that, you know, we regret, and we act in ways that we regret. Our flesh has a way of getting in the way, so that when it's hard and we don't handle things right, Israel would face trials, and instead of coming to God, they would be tempted to go to the false gods. Then we come to our text where Moses is challenging Israel to understand what it's going to take so that in the future, when they are wanting to follow the Lord and consistently be where God wants them to be and handling things the way that God wants them to handle things and not turning aside to false gods or false views of things, that what they would need to do is lay up the Word of God in them. Look at verse 18. "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes." So Moses tells Israel, if you want to live this way, so that you're not controlled by your flesh, then what you need is to lay up the Word of God in you, in your heart. It needs to be laid up, stored up in you. Now to do this, he said, first, you make them as frontlets between your eyes. And what he's saying there is that it would be something that would constantly be in front of you. Frontlets between your eyes is an analogy or a metaphor to say that it's something that's constantly in front of you. You're keeping it in your view. I remember when Melissa and I were interested, or I was interested in her, and then I found that she was interested in me, and I couldn't wait to talk to her on the phone, and I couldn't wait to be around her. And then it got to the place where I didn't want to be apart from her. And the only way I knew how to deal with that is to get married to her. And then we're, you know, so we're stuck together. And then she learns a lot of things. We both learn a lot of things that we didn't know before, right? A lot of things they didn't tell you whenever you're, you know, being recruited to this. And you didn't know. Man, I didn't know about this. I think she had the tougher end of that deal than I did. But whenever we were getting to that place, you know, I was thinking this, I just want to be around her. I just want her to be in my sight. The Word of God needs to be that way. You know, when we got married, I invaded her space. Like literally, I invaded spaces of the house that she didn't expect invasions there. You know, there was a lot of things that, you know, when God is going to guide your life, then what He is saying needs to happen is the Word of God needs to invade your life. It needs to invade your life. It needs to be as frontlets, always in front of you, always guiding you as a tool or a source, keeping us on the path that God wants us to be on. It's necessary that we do that if we're going to stay on God's path. If we're going to be on the to be where He wants us to be. Look at verse number 19. It says, "And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." So you need to, the Word of God needs to be it needs to invade your life, constantly be in front of you. And then it's like He's saying the next natural step is, now what you're doing is you're teaching your children the Word of God. Because it's such a part of your life, now you're teaching your kids. It's such an important part of the steps that you take, you're using it to guide your children in the steps that they take. That's what He's saying. That it's all through your home. That it just takes over the house. We're talking about the Word of God. It takes over your home. When we make decisions, when we have to do things, when we decide we're not going to do something, why are we doing this? Because that's what the Word of God says. Why are we not doing this? Because that's what the Word of God says. And so it's guiding our lives, but then what naturally happens next is it begins to be taught to our children in the home. We need to do that, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas. We need to teach our children the words of God, don't we? Why are we doing this? Because this is what God says. That's often where the challenge in our homes is. Where we're doing things in our home sometimes, and we're not being guided by the Word of God. And so we need to deal with things, and we need to make decisions about life. And we're making decisions sometimes in our home, and the Word of God is not guiding us because it's not as a frontlet. It's not such a part of our life that it invades our homes, and then it's not being taught to our children by a way of the reason why we're doing the things that we're doing, and the direction that we're going, and the decisions that we're making. We're not letting God's Word be the reason that we're doing these things. And so then what's happening in our children often is that they learn to make decisions based upon things other than the Word of God too. So we have a child who needs to make a decision, where are you going to go to college? And the line of reasoning that they have to make that very important decision in their life doesn't include the Bible or God. And where do they get that? They're taught those things. Our children need to make a decision about who they're going to get married to, who they're going to date. And they use the world's thinking when they're choosing who they're going to be interested in and date. But why are they not including what the Word of God says? If Moses is right here, as we study this, And he is telling moms and dads to teach their children that when to teach their children the word of God when you're sitting and when you're rising up. I mean, it needs to invade your home. That's what he's saying in verse 19. You need to guide your children with the word of God. You need to make decisions in your home with the word of God. So then as our children are being raised, and they need to make a decision, where am I going to go to college? Well, the first thing I want to do is make sure that I know what God says. What does the Bible say? You have succeeded as a mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, or any adult who's helping children. You have succeeded if the first thing your kids think of when they need to make decisions is, what does God want me to do? Hallelujah. I mean, that's what we're looking for, right? That's what we want in our lives, and that's what we want in our children's lives. Finding God's will and getting on God's path and going God's direction, it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by default. So they need to be taught. It needs to permeate, invade our homes. And so that we tell our children and we guide our children and we direct our children with the words of God. That's how we guide our homes. With God's word. This is what God says. And so whenever you make your decision, you can do, honestly, God gives us a will and we can all do whatever we want to do. But be mindful of what God says when you make decisions, because the promises of God are true. Whether or not I believe it or anybody does or doesn't believe it, God's word is true and God's promises are true, and He will bless you if you follow Him. So we need to follow God's word. Make a decision about where you're going to go to school, kids. What does God say? You need to make a decision about who you'll be interested in. Looks like I'm talking to the boys today. What does God say? And you're on the right path if you just do that. But honestly, where are they going to get that from you and me? Where are they going to learn that? In our homes. You say, well, why are my kids doing this? And why are my kids doing that? Because they're learning it in the home. You say, well, I don't like the direction my kids are going. Why are they going that direction? Often, it's because we're not in the home guiding them according to the Word of God. They must be taught in the home. You say, well, that's why we go to church. Well, true, we come to church, we learn the Word of God. But honestly, what happens at church is meant to inspire us to go home and live this out there. You're not doing it just because you do it here. You're doing it because God speaks to you and He gets a hold of you and you go out there and you live for Him out there. He needs to invade our homes. Look at verse 20. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. So the doorpost means, when you walk through the doorway, the idea is when you go out of the house, you see it. So that means you have the Word of God in you when you leave the house. So it's in your homes, it's invaded your home. And then whenever you leave the house and you walk through the doorpost, you see it as you leave. So it goes with you when you're out there. And then when you come back in the house, you see it again and you're reminded. So it needs to be with us in our day-to-day life. And we forget sometimes, don't we? Man, I am so forgetful, but I'm not nearly as forgetful as Brother Chad. I think I beat you on that. So whenever I need to remember to bring something to the church, what I do is I take my car keys and I put it on top of whatever or underneath whatever I need to take. Because I'm not going anywhere without car keys. And then I'll see, oh, yes, need to remember to bring that. There it is. See, here's what God says. Whatever it takes, you need to take the Word of God with you. Don't forget it. It needs to be above the doorpost. You need to put it with the keys, so that whenever you get ready to go out into the world and do your thing, you have the Word of God with you. It's by the Word, isn't it? We need that. We need the Word in us, guiding us and directing our steps. Look at verse 21. that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. What's that? That's the future. So what you do with the Word of God in your home will affect your future and will affect the future of your kids. Look what it says. It says that your days may be multiplied. That's the future. God wants to bless you down the road. So what you do with the Word of God in your home will affect future blessings that will come to you and to your kids. Yeah. It affects the future. I remember reading through the Bible, just my personal Bible reading time. And there are things sometimes whenever I get to it, I'm thinking, man, I have got to, and I write in my journal, and I remember, you know, the Bible reading journal. And then when I'm studying a sermon, I'll remember, oh, I remember reading about that. Where was that? And I'll sort of go through my journal. This was one of those times. I want to show you something. Keep your finger here in Deuteronomy and go to 2 Kings. Forward a little bit. 2 Kings chapter 20. Second Kings 20. The king Hezekiah had been given extra time as a grace from God to live. He was going to die, and he prayed, and God extended his life, and it was a blessing from the Lord. In these days, however, he wasn't the example that God would have wanted him to be. I want you to see this. Look at verse number 14, 2 Kings 20. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? So what had happened is there were men from Assyria who had come to spy out, in a sense, the land. And Hezekiah showed them the wealth and the riches of the temple. And so Isaiah is confronting him about this. Verse 15, and he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And then Isaiah confronted Hezekiah with this condemnation. Behold, 17, the days come, and all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And look at 18. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, they shall take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And so in his pride, Hezekiah lifted himself up. The judgment of God came, and now Israel's going to go into captivity, and the Bible says that his sons would be judged and condemned as well. Go to chapter 21, verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. That, by the way, is the son of Hezekiah. Hezekiah. Look at verse 2. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Look at verse 6. And he made his sons to pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards, and he wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Here's the point. Hezekiah, as a parent, guided his family down a specific road, and then Manasseh, his son, the Bible said, did evil in the sight of the Lord. And I think that it's pretty easy to see, huh, that what happens in the home, it affects our children, doesn't it? It affects what they do and what they don't do. And what God is working in our hearts about, and what God desires to do in us, is that we would allow the Word of God to control the function of our home. To do that, the Word of God has to be the source of your lessons to your children. It needs to be what invades your home. And when you teach your children, you're teaching them the Word of God. You're discussing with them the Word of God. You're making, listen, moms and dads, and grandmas and grandpas, you're making decisions because that's what God says. And your children learn from that. Our kids learn from that. You know what we ought to be able to do when our kids are not doing right? Is that we would sit down with them and look at the Bible together. If you want to affect your children for God, then you need to start opening the Word of God in your homes and going through the Scripture with your children. Why do we do this? Let's look what the Bible says. Affect your kids with the Word of God. We need to do this. And these are the verses, kids, that I want to show you. We need to not do this anymore. And let me show you from the Bible why. You know why we need to go here? Let me show you from the Bible why we need to do this. We don't need to go here anymore. But I want to show you from the Bible why that's true. We don't want to behave this way. But I want to show you from the Bible why we don't behave like this. You know what? We should be respectful and kind and obedient. But I want to show you from the Bible why we should do that. We have to teach our children the Word of God. Moms and dads, we need to start opening the Word of God in our homes. We need to let it invade our homes. It starts with us. It starts with us. We make decisions because that's what God says. Amen? That's what God says. It might be this morning that you haven't been letting God, His Word, invade your mind, your heart. You haven't been living by the Word. Let me encourage you to let God work in you this morning. Father, we trust that Your Word is enough, and it's enough to guide us in the path that You want us to walk on, and to be what You'd have us to be, to go the way You want us to go. Lord, thank You for Your grace and for how You've worked in us, speaking to us and leading us. And I just pray that You'll continue to do that even this morning. Let's do this morning. Let's keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. Go ahead and stand. And Brother Josh.